Thank you for listening to an audio resource from Stanwich Church, located in Greenwich and Stamford, Connecticut. The vision of Stanwich Church is to know Christ and make him known.
The Old Testament lesson for today is Psalm 46, verses 1 through 11. This can be found on page 557 in the Pew Bible, or right behind me. The psalmist declares that God's people are secure in his sovereign presence despite any turmoil that may surround them. A reading of Psalm 46, beginning with the first verse. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolation on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Well, my dear Stanwich Church family, I trust that most of you might have been here last week for the service or received an email announcement from Pastor Nathan, letting us know that God is pruning our branches here at Stanwich in order for us to bear more fruit. And God has clearly called Pastor Nathan to serve as the dean of the chapel for Hope College. And as one of our elders, Laura Laspaluto, mentioned as well in an announcement, it is possible the Army will be calling up Pastor David as well. Now, I hope that's not news to you, but if you are, hang with me. Spiritual pruning can really hurt. In fact, it feels like a death. But it's necessary because that's where life gets released. In these places, God draws near to us if we're open to receive it. When I heard a little while ago now, I've had a little more time with this information, that this might be possible, I literally started to fall off my chair. I was so stunned and I was so shocked. But as the weeks and months have gone by, I've recognized that there's a lot more that comes than just stunned and shocked. I was fearful, sad, felt overwhelmed. I was angry and restless. And if you felt any of those emotions, either about this announcement or some other thing in your life, there is some good news. These are normal, common grief responses. Whenever there's change of any kind or loss in our lives, we feel all of it. This is a process. And one of the things I can promise you is that if we grieve well, then what we can do is end well. And we can also move into what one of our confirmands said a month ago, Luke Spada. He said, weeping lasts through the night, but joy comes in the morning. And along with grief, I have also seen God show up in incredibly powerful ways for me and for many others as we've waited and found out the news. And I can say today that I am so grateful for the years that I've had serving on this pastoral team the way it's been. And I'm confident that God is in the pruning and the loss, and he's also in the grief and the gratitude. Whenever life feels overwhelming or out of control, this is the psalm I go to, Psalm 46. And as a pastor, it's the psalm I bring people to all the time that are going through anxiety and loss and struggle. And during the pandemic, I recited it throughout days and many sleepless nights. I love it because it reminds me of God's power and protection and his invitation to rest in him no matter what. I think it's both pastoral and therapeutic, and I hope it speaks to you that way as well today. This psalm, the big idea, is that in the face of chaos and fear, God brings order and peace. So I want to take some time with you today to unpack this powerful and poetic hymn. And as we do, I want to give you a little bit of context. Right in the intro, you saw the words sons of Korah. They were the descendants of Levi and were in charge of the music of worship. And then you heard that term almoth. That's a musical notation to describe female voices. And some people believe that it was women, maidens with tambourines that were the background to this psalm. Now, there are 150 psalms in the Bible. They're the songbook of God's people, and they contain all kinds of things. They contain praise and celebration, wisdom and lament. And ours is one of those. Psalm 46 is a hymn with two stanzas, and it has a chorus that gets repeated twice, and that is verse 7 and 11. And what I want to do with you today, and I hope you take this psalm with you into your week, but today we're going to pull apart two different threads from this psalm and take a look at them. The first is that we live in a fallen world, and in that fallen world, there is chaos and fear. So I'm going to read a few selected verses for you from 2, 3, and 6. Though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, the nations rage, the kingdoms totter. Wow. Earthquakes, floods, war, and suffering. There is chaos and violence in this life. The psalmist doesn't mince words to tell us how messed up life is in a fallen world. It's not only around us in nature and in warring nations, but the chaos is also inside us. It's in our lives as well. We all experience chaos in our circumstances, in our relationships, sometimes listening to the news about our country and about our world. When we lose a job or we have changes in health, divorce, estrangement, or friends, people we love who move away and leave. When change happens, it's unsettling and we're afraid. But all those conflicting emotions that I described in the beginning that I've been through and that you may be feeling today, they are all an experience of chaos. But really what they are is our minds and our hearts are trying to adjust to sudden hard news. Know that adjusting to any change or loss is a process, and where you are today is not where you're going to be in a week, 3 months, 6 months, or a year from now. The hurt can be greater when we have loved and been loved well. So what do we do with all the chaos and the challenging emotions we're feeling? We can bring it to the Lord, and we can lean into his love. The psalmist and the other biblical writers do this all the time. They're very honest about their feelings. They talk about being angry at God, feeling betrayed, hurt, sorrow, anguish. All of that is there, and they bring it to him. And as they do, what they discover is that God cares for us right in that place. And not only that, God wants to bring us healing. I love the verse from Psalm 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those crushed in spirit. Healing may not come in the way that we expect it to, and it certainly doesn't always come on our timeline. However, we can trust that God is doing deeper work in us for our good and for his glory. Allow God to minister to you. Invite him to reveal more of himself to you in this season. This psalm is one to hang on to in hard times. And despite the circumstances we're facing, God is so sovereign over all of it. His love and his purposes will not be overcome. And how do we know that's true? Well, that's the second thread of our psalm for today. And it's found in his promises to us. This psalm is full of those promises, and I want to highlight a few of them. I really think there are three themes that come out from the promises. The first is, he's our protector and defender. I'll read from verse 1 and 2 and 9. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. All the words of protection in this verse, I love them. I hold on to them. Refuge, fortress, strength, stronghold. And he causes wars to cease, and he brings peace. So we need not fear. He puts an end to the violence and the chaos, so we can draw our strength from him. Our second promise is that God is in control and is with us. We hear this in that chorus that gets repeated twice. It says in verse 7 and 11, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." And this is telling us not only is God in charge of nature and of nations, but God is in charge of all heavenly power. As the Message version of this describes it, it says, God is the God of angel armies, the Lord of hosts. He's in charge, he's worthy of all praise, and he will be exalted over all. Therefore, we can trust him. He is God with us. And finally, the third promise is that we are at home with God. He is in our midst. As we look at verses 4 and 5, it says this, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns." Now, that city that's being described is actually Zion or Jerusalem. In Hebrew, that is Yerushalem, the city of peace. And it's also used to refer to God's people as well as the church. Ultimately, heaven will be our final city. And we hear echoes of this verse in Revelation. And notice how in this city, God's taking care of us. The river that's there is life-giving and nourishing. Earlier, we had read about the fallen world where the water is roaring and foaming. There's a contrast, disorder to order, chaos to peace. God is in the midst of the city. She shall not be moved. We have a firm foundation with God, and we can count on him. He helps us in the morning when light returns to dispel the darkness. God is in our midst here at Stanwich Church, and we sense his presence when we come in this place on Sundays, when we gather and we worship and we're fed on his word and on our sacrament of communion. Another of our confirmands a month ago, Anna Whitbridge, said this, "I noticed immediately after my first time coming that I felt relieved in some way. Each Sunday, when I would walk out of church, I would just feel happier than I was when I arrived." And I bet many of us can relate to that. We have felt that way too. And I personally have been blessed to be a part of the Stanwich community over the last 35 years. It was actually the former pastor, Neely Tao, who has graced us today, who was the one who encouraged me to go to seminary a long, long time ago. And when I moved and lived and worked all over the country for 17 years, this was always the church that I returned to. This was my home church. And when I moved back to Greenwich in 2005, that was true again. The only time I missed a Christmas Eve service in all those years was when I was 9.5 months pregnant in Seattle, and the doctor was not willing to let me get on an airplane to come back. But it is a very, very special place. I have never experienced a church where I have felt so clearly God's love and his joy among his people. And that's true, despite the fact that we've had different pastors over the years. This is Jesus' church. I was here when Pastor Neely handed the shepherd's crook to Pastor Chuck, and then when Pastor Chuck handed that shepherd's crook to Pastor Nathan. It doesn't matter who's leading. The Holy Spirit is the same. God is in the midst of Stanwich. She shall not be moved. God will keep helping her. Gigi Dinard, a 21-year-old daughter of our church and college student, said these incredibly wise and powerful words last Sunday to me. I know that Stanwich is going to come through this well, because it is such an amazing community of faithful, smart, and spiritually sound people. I couldn't agree with her more. At church, we not only experience the Holy Spirit power and presence, but we also experience God's comfort. The Holy Spirit is called the Comforter in the Bible, our Helper. So when we gather here, God can minister his comfort to us. But not only that, he can minister through us to one another. And speaking of helping and comforting, Stanwich Church has 20 trained and dedicated care ministers. And I would ask those who are here today, please stand for a moment so people can see who you are. I want them to recognize your faces. And there was another group of them in the earlier service. Please stand for another moment. I know it's painful, but just for a moment. And what they do is they come alongside people going through loss, illness, and transition. And we met on Zoom this week, and they all agreed they wanted you to know today that they would love to meet you, to talk with you, to hear how you're doing, and to pray with you. Whether it's here in the church, you can see them around you now, whether it's in coffee hour or sometime after that. And what you're going to see in the bulletin next Sunday, as well as in the Stanwich newsletter, a list of all their names. So they invite you to reach out to them or contact me, and I'll put you in touch with them. But I am so grateful for these servants of the Lord in this church. Thank you all, and you may be seated. So God promises we're protected, we're not alone, and God is in charge. How are we to respond to these promises? Well, the whole psalm culminates in verse 10, and it says this, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still. Now, sometimes we might think that's sit still or don't move, but actually in Hebrew it is different. It means stop opposing, arguing, and fighting with God. Simply surrender and be at peace. And that word know, to know God, it's actually the word we use about a husband and wife. It's an intimate word. That's how God wants to care for you. That's how God wants you to know him and be known by him. The great I am, God, is saying, trust me, I will do what I say. Be still and come to that still point at the center of the chaos. We hear these words, be still again, in the New Testament. And it's also a passage about God protecting us and inviting us to surrender to him. Mark 4 tells the story. You may recall that the disciples and Jesus are in a boat. It's been an exhausting day of ministry for Jesus. He's sound asleep. And a great squall kicks up, and all of a sudden, the boat looks like it's going to capsize. So the disciples run over, wake up Jesus, and say, we're going to perish. And Jesus wakes up, he stands up, holds out his arms, and he says in a loud voice, peace, be still. And at that, the winds cease, and there is great calm. And Jesus says that, be still, peace, be still. Over the chaos of nature, over the chaos in us. part of what he's doing there is reminding us that he's got us. He loves us. He came to this earth to redeem us from our sins and death, to make us right with God. And so through us, he might be able, by the power of his Spirit, to put our feet on mission to save the world with his love. For me, I've had a few experiences in my life of the be still and know that I am God moments. And one of them happened 4 weeks ago. In fact, Pastor Nathan referenced it in his announcement. It was the early morning hours of Commitment Sunday, and I knew a lot was in flux. But I was dreaming this wonderful dream. And I don't always remember dreams, but this dream was this bright, sunny place. It was like a garden, but even more, it was outdoors. And the colors were so bright, they were fluorescent looking, yellows and greens. And all this life was in this picture, and all this fruit was there. And everyone was sort of working together in perfect harmony. Everything was as it should be. It was a scene of total order. And what I felt in this dream was peace and joy. I loved this dream. But then something happened that has never happened to me before in my life. And that is that I woke up with a jolt because someone yelled out, "Heather!" And I'm eyes wide awake, you know, where you're kind of shocked. You know, so you get woken up suddenly in the midst of a beautiful dream you don't want to leave. And I'm lying there and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, somebody screamed for me. What's happening? And I reached over and luckily Mark was still there in the dark. I thought he must have called out for me. And then I checked to be sure he was breathing, and he was breathing. And then I'm thinking, we're the only living things in this house. Clearly the dog doesn't know how to call my name. And I waited and I wondered, is someone in the house? Did something happen? What's going on? If it were our children who were many miles away, it would have been Mom, right? It wouldn't have been Heather. And I was really perplexed and I felt like I had a choice. Okay, I can go back to that beautiful dream. And by the way, when I was in the dream, I was aware of this beautiful fluorescent colors of harmony. It was Stanwich Church. And it was also heaven. A foretaste of the kind of joy and peace and harmony we're going to share with the Lord one day. So I thought, I can go back to that beautiful place, or I can pray. So I did. I said the prayer, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And I waited. And then I did it again. And I waited again. And the rest of the night was me waiting on the Lord. Sleep didn't return, no bright big answers came, thoughts, but nothing that felt like it made sense given the jolting coming to awake that I had been. So I went through the next day. We had that amazing Commitment Sunday service and an evening service, and throughout the day I just held it up to the Lord, kind of, what was that about, right? Why was I awakened in the middle of that dream? And I started to recognize that although he didn't give me an answer, he was still there with me in the waiting. And at that moment, we were waiting on a lot of things. We were waiting to find out what was going to happen for Pastor Nathan, and we're still waiting on Pastor David. What's happening? God was with me in the waiting. That is the answer he gave. And I believe that's true for all of us today. Whatever you're holding, whatever you came in with, God is with you in the waiting. And I want to invite you as well to know that he will meet you where you are. He calls your name. And when we wait on him, we're given the strength to be still. He'll do this for you wherever you are. So friends, in the face of chaos and fear, God brings order and peace. May you know God, the defender who protects you, Jesus, the redeemer who brings you peace, and the Holy Spirit comforter who fills you with power to live out God's purpose for you in his kingdom. Amen.
To learn more about the mission and vision of Stanwich Church, and how you can get involved, please visit stanwichchurch.org.